Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're so thankful and blessed that you are here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us this morning. If you would please stand and let's open up this time of praise and worship with a word of prayer. If you would please bow your heads and your hearts and let us pray. Oh, holy God, merciful Savior, coming King, risen Christ, we pause to bow before you to say thank you for your mercy, to say thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your truth. Lord, we especially thank you for this time that you have afforded to us to gather together to sing praises unto your holy name. May we be moved, may we be changed, may we be challenged, may we truly be praising you today. We commit this time of praise and worship in your care. We pray that you would take it and use it and glorify yourself through it, and may you be blessed because of it. We thank you, O Christ. We pray this in the mighty name of the risen Jesus, our coming King and Lord and Savior. We do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God's given you a gift.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am holding on to you. Holding on to you in the middle of the storm. I'm holding on, I am. Love like this, oh my God, to find. I am overwhelmed, what a joy divine. Love like this sets our hearts on fire, sets our hearts on fire. I am holding on to you. Holding on to you in the middle of the storm. I'm holding on, I am. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you in the middle of the storm. I'm holding on, I am. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah call. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be able to hold on to you no matter what we're going through, Lord. We thank you for that promise, Lord. We thank you for the gifts you've given us as we remember this time of the season, Lord. Father, that you have given us many gifts too, and we can use those gifts to give to unto others, Lord. Father, allow us to let our little light shine, Father, as we step out. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, yeah, yeah, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus gave me light, I'm gonna let it shine, yeah. Jesus gave me light, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me light, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. On Monday gave the gift of love, on Tuesday peace came from above. On Wednesday told me to have my faith. On Thursday gave me just a little more grace. On Friday told me to watch and pray. On Saturday told me just what to say. On Sunday gave me the power divine just to let my little light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, 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 let it shine.
As we bow our heads, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in the church, Lord. Allow us to have that strength and that courage to step out and let our little light shine, Father. The gifts that you've given us, allow us to use those to help others, to advance your kingdom, Lord. Father, we thank you for that, because you truly are an awesome and wonderful God. Father, there is no other God that is greater than you, for how great you are. Thank you for all that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The splendor of the King, He's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, in darkness tries to hide. And trembles at His voice, and trembles at His voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. To wait, He stands, and time is in His hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! How great is our God! sing with me how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God. Oh, his name's above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Our God, sing with me how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God.
Let's worship him today.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God.
One more time, we'll sing this for the Lord.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your greatness. We do thank you for everything you've done for us in our lives, Lord. Father, and if we're carrying anything with us or if we just feel bad about something, Lord, allow us to give it to you, Lord. Also, if we're unsure of our future and we worry about our future, let us give that to you because you have it all under control. Lord, let us also remember this time, this season, Lord, and remember the gifts that you've given us so that we can use those to step out and hopefully bring others to know you. Lord, we thank you for everything. In all things, we ask a special blessing over his church and pastor and all those that are here and those could not be here and the message to be delivered today. We thank you for all that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. If you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, today, immediately after the worship service, we would invite anyone to please stay and for a light lunch and to help decorate the church for Christmas. The hanging of the greens will take place immediately after worship. And friends, many hands makes light work. And so if you're able, please stick around and do your part and just, you know, enjoy some good Christian fellowship as you're doing it. Also, if you need or know someone that is in need of a Christmas food basket, you can please contact Tina Shields. She's sitting in the back of the sanctuary back there, and so you can see her after the service. Good. So the tree in the fellowship hall will be an angel tree, and those gifts will stay right here in the community. And what we would ask is we would ask that you take the angel off of the tree, you go purchase a gift for that young boy, young girl, or that adult, and then you wrap that gift, but then you've got to tape the angel on the outside of the gift. Please. So once you wrap that gift, please tape that angel on the outside. Otherwise, there's going to be a whole lot of unwrapping and wrapping going on. And so please help us out with that. And so if you want to be a part of that, the tree will be in the fellowship hall. Just take the angel, go purchase the gift or the monetary gift, and then basically put the angel on the outside of the wrapped gift as you place it under the tree. And so basically we would invite you to be a part of that in blessing those who are in need within our community this Christmas season. Last announcement I just want to highlight is everyone is invited to a birthday party for Jesus. And this will happen Sunday, Christmas Day, the 25th of December. And friends, today is the beginning of Advent, the four Sundays preceding Christmas. It's hard to believe. Here we are, 2016, and we are pushing towards a close of this year already. But this is the beginning of the Advent season. So mark that on your calendar. You know, be a part of a birthday party for Jesus. Before we continue with our praise and worship, I'm going to have Greg come forward, and he's going to share with us one last announcement.
Is this on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so Christmas Eve service, we're deciding to do something a little bit different. We're going to have two separate services, and this is just another way for us at Trinity to reach out. The 5:30 service is going to be carols and scripture, so it's going to be a more traditional service. And the 7 o'clock service is going to be the candlelight service, so more the usual what you get Christmas Eve at Trinity. The reason we want to do this is our mission is to reach those who haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is no better way to do that than the story of Christ's birth. We want to make every avenue possible for those who haven't heard the story to hear the story. And so each one of you will have an invite card in your bulletin, or you should anyway. If not, there should be some in the back or in the fellowship hall. The goal is to get these invite cards out to as many people as possible, whether it be your friends, your relatives, your acquaintances, some random person you meet on the street. Make a relationship with that person and give them the card, because we need the world to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it begins at the birth of Jesus Christ. So this is very important. You'll hear me spieling about it the next couple weeks. So don't get tired of me, because I'm not going away.
All right. Thank you, Greg. And you know, friends, there's 200,000 some odd churches in America. And you can do the math on your own. But if you think about it, if every church just reached 2 people a week, that would be 104 people. And over the course of only a few years, we could change the whole look of our society. I mean, you're talking about 20 million people in just a couple years. And that's why we're here, friends, as Greg said. You know, and that's why we're changing it up a little bit this year, because we want to reach out. We want to reach the community for Jesus Christ. So take these, as Greg said, invite. Invest in their life and invite. Invest and invite. Junior worship is now dismissed for those kids in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And let's turn to the reading of God's Word. Don't do the offering, I'll do that.
Okay. The reading in today's Word will be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. You can find this in the Pew Bible on page 1821, if you care to read along with us. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in its reading.
This morning, I would invite everybody to turn their attention to the screen, and we have a wonderful opportunity to see what has been happening this past year in the outreach to the children's ministry. And so if you would, please watch. I'm going to ask Rachel and Jen and Joanna to come forward and share a couple words. Joanna's in junior worship. Okay. I thought Nikki was going to speak here. But basically, if you'll notice on the video, we had specifically three outreaches. We had Vacation Bible School, and then we had Trunk or Treat, and then also the Easter Egg Hunt. And so I just ask, Rachel and Jen and Joanna can't be here, to share a few words about what took place.
I'm director of Vacation Bible School, which most of you guys know, I'm the one that feels honored. It's amazing to get to watch all these kids come together. And I mean, if you have never come to a Vacation Bible School day for an opening or a closing, first off, this year was hilarious. Kids loved it. And that really spoke to their hearts to get to meet a kid where they're at is so much different than meeting an adult where they're at and reaching out to them. So it's so much fun to get to be a part of that. I'm really thankful that we, as a team, as a whole church, do such an amazing job reaching kids' hearts and teaching them about God. This year, we had, I don't know if anybody remembers, but we had over 150 kids. Our biggest day was over 150 kids. So we had more kids than we actually have attenders here. So that's pretty awesome. I don't remember the number, but there was quite a few kids that received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if you break it down, let's pretend that everybody has two kids in their house. We got into 75 houses. So our church got into 75 houses. I mean, our God got into 75 houses. How awesome is that? So
when Rachel and I were kind of talking about the end of Vacation Bible School and how exciting it was and how awesome it was and how greatly it was received by the community and how it has been all these years, we kind of tried to expound off of that a little bit and say, what else can we do to get the kids, you know, to feel the love of Jesus through our church. So that was kind of where the trunk or treat idea came from. And Susie Huffman in the office helps with one at her church. So she kind of poured her ideas in. And with everyone's help and all the great volunteers, we had an exciting time. So many kids showed up. I mean, hundreds of kids from surrounding communities. I didn't expect that many. And God was present. He made this such a success. The kids came away with smiles and excitement, and everyone who participated wanted to, thank you guys for everyone's donations and everything that you guys did as well. So we're just trying to spread the love of Christ to the kids and make them feel like they're always welcome here. And so we want to try and reach out to them a few times each year just to make them feel welcome and, you know, let them know that we want them to feel the love of Christ too and to try and spread that throughout the community with the kids. So.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys. Just stay here for a minute. You know, I'm a numbers guy from, you know, selling insurance. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, there was 160 kids at the Easter Egg Hunt. And then VBS, we averaged 120 kids a day. And then the last day, we had over 300 people here. And then Trunk or Treat, 400 bags of cotton candy were passed out. If you look at those numbers are just a testament to what God is doing here. And church, I'll just say this. We're getting it done. And so let's just give God a round of applause for what he is doing here. Let's just give God a round of applause.
too.
Okay.
The winner of the trunk or treat, of course, everyone is just dying to know, right? Because it was a competition too. So we have a special gift for Easton and his parents who helped him win first place for the first annual trunk or treat. So you guys get a gift certificate and a cool little first place certificate. So thank you so much.
Okay, Kim.
I would just like to make a comment. Trunk or treat, it was funny because we ran out of candy and we had over 300 pieces of candy. But I want you guys to know that the EMS and the police were uptown and actually came here because they had no children. So if that tells you where the kids were, they were here. And it was neat to see the police and the EMS. They said we were sitting up there and nobody was coming. And then we found out where they all were. They were here.
Yep. You know,
thank you.
Yes, thank you, Kim. Truly, it is amazing what God is doing in the outreach to the children, you know, here in this community. And that's a wonderful thing. That excites me. That just, you know, burns a passion deep in my soul. Because to change the next generation, to change this, the landscape of society, we need to reach the kids. And the kids are the time capsule that we send to a future that we won't even see. Just think on that. You know, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and we celebrate the love of God. And the scriptures tell us that God is love, and not that we first loved, but that God first loved us. And he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that God loved the world, that whoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what the children's ministry here at Trinity is all about. It's about giving. It's about reaching out. It's about serving. It's about connecting with these young people with the love of God. And I've asked Rachel and Jen to light the first purple candle here. Later's right there. As we think and ponder on the love of God. Right. Thank you, guys. As we continue this time of praise and worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord. All I have within me, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offering. We ask, Father, that you accept these offerings, bless them, and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. I wonder if you've ever had a time in your life where you felt like you had too many things to do and not enough time to do it. Can anybody relate to that? I certainly can, and I can think back on my life at certain times when I was in college or seminary, and the years I was running and, you know, going to seminary and running a business at the same time, it always seemed like I just had so many things to do and not enough time to do it. And I just wonder if you can relate to that. You see, there's a danger in that, and the danger is this, is that then we begin to get on these tasks of completing these things that we think are essential, and we have no margins in our life, and then we're unable to do the things that God wants us to do. You know, after I moved here in 2012, I remember one, you know, day during the winter that I was buried, you know, up to my eyeballs in trying to survive and you know, do what needed to be done here for Trinity. And I honestly thought this thought, and I thought, okay, I don't understand when I'm going to fit removing the snow from my driveway into my schedule. My schedule was just packed that full. And then a couple minutes later, I hear the sound of a snowblower, and I'm thinking, boy, that's getting closer and closer and closer. And little did I know that my neighbor saw my need, and he came over and he cleared my drive. In his book, Bill Hybels, the book Simplify, he talks about creating margins in our life. And margins, friend, if you look at the piece of paper that we use to type on or to write on, the margins are the outside. They're the white space. They're the space that nothing goes in. And in fact, if you've gone to college or even in high school and you write papers, if you don't have the certain amount of good margins, you get docked for it. You have to have the right amount of margins. And I personally believe that many Americans in our lives today is we live lives with no margins. We are chocked full of things to do from morning to night, and then we lay down at night and we say our prayers at the end of the day, put our head on our pillow, and this is what Bill Hybels says in his book. And he says, okay, I made it through another day. And in all honesty, friends, then we begin to think, how am I going to do this again tomorrow? It's like we're drowning in things to do. It's as if we are drowning in the actions and the activities and the things that we got to check off of our list. And because of that, we run and run and run and run and run. And friends, I am fearful that many of us miss what God is asking us to do. And the truth be told, all of us have been asked by God to do some things. We're going to look at our text, and we've been going through the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And we're going to see what it means to be rich. And the divide in this letter to the church at Ephesus, it was talking about being rich. But beginning in chapter 4, the buzzword through the end of the letter is to walk or to live in such a way that is going to glorify God and bring Him all praise and honor. And yet, sometimes in our lives, we just fill it full of stuff and things to do that we don't have time to bring God the honor that He wants to receive. And so the Apostle Paul, he begins in chapter 4, and we'll look at 5 and 6. And the buzzword or the theme is to walk or to live in such a way. And so these last three chapters are all about how we apply the riches that God has given to you and to me. We've already looked at being wealthy in Christ, being seated in the heavenlies, being united in one spirit with Him, and what He has done for you and for me, and how He purchased for you and I the wealth of being rich in Christ. And the sad reality is what we do with that, oftentimes it gets crowded out. You see, you have the best gift that anybody could ever receive. The gift of love, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of kindness, the gift of gentleness. Just this last week, I heard of one of my neighbors that lost their job, and he was the same neighbor that came and cleared my yard or my drive that one day. So you know where I went? I went straight across the road. And I walked down the road, and I went to his house, and I said, "Hey, if you need anything, let me know." Now, this is not to pat me on the back. That's not the point here. The point is that if we have so much stuff and so many activities in our life that we have no margins in our life, we don't have the opportunity to do those things that will bless another person. And we won't be able to invest in them, and we surely won't be able to invite them. To invest in somebody is to see their need. To invest in somebody is to reach out to them where they are at. And so, with no margins, we're unable to move forward in what God has called us to do. There are four blessings in the first 16 verses of chapter 4 that we can see. And it's first is the blessing of being called. If we could go to the PowerPoint here. The Apostle Paul, he says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." To be called is to be chosen. And friends, you all have been chosen. I have been chosen. To be called is to be pulled out of for a specific purpose, for a divine appointed purpose, for a reason. And God has called you and He has called me for His reason and only His reason. And when we have our piece of paper and we've got it so full of the agenda for the day and the things that we feel that we need to have to do, what often gets crowded out is God's reason for calling us. We just watched about the youth, you know, the outreach to the kids. That takes time. That takes effort. That takes energy. And the reality of it is, it's a blessing. It's a wonderful opportunity. But if we all crowd our schedules so full, we will never have the time to do what God is asking us to do. You see, it's a blessing to be called. Because if God has called you, which He has chosen you. And if He's chosen you, He hasn't chosen you to sit. He's chosen you to serve. He has called you out for His purpose, to do His will, to serve Him in a distinct will, in a distinct way. In Ephesians 2:10, we looked at several weeks ago, that you and I are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we would do the good works that God has prepared beforehand for you and me to do. And friends, what that means is that you and I are individuals that can only do what God has equipped us to do in certain ways. And that means that there's nobody on the face of this earth that can do what God has equipped and created you to do. There's nobody that can fill your shoes. There is nobody that can serve your role. There is nobody that can reach the group of people that God has equipped you to reach. There is nobody on the face of this planet that can serve the body of Christ and glorify God the Father in heavens in the manner in which God created you to serve Him. And so when we don't do it, We can have all these excuses and all these reasons why. I don't have enough time. I've got too many things. And all these things are falling off of my plate. I can't do that. And in all reality, we are choosing the temporal over the eternal. We are choosing what is of this earth rather than what is of the eternal and of the heavenlies. And I don't know about you, but I want to choose the eternal. Here's the reason why. Is because the eternal will last forever. I want to invest in the young lives of these kids because the Word of God is the only thing that will not come back void. You can do all the things that you want to with your kids. Unless you get God's Word in their heart, mind, and soul, it is the only thing that won't come back void. You see, you have been chosen, friends. You have been called, and that is a true blessing, because to be not called means that you haven't been chosen by God, and that's a horrifying thought, because it means that you have been left out of God's family, and yet God has said, I choose you. As Paul said, you have been called, and we are charged to live a life worthy of that calling. One of the best things that I ever have done is to read that book, Simplify, and I'll tell you the reason why. Is because no matter what, sometimes too much of a good thing is not a good thing. And all the times that I spend serving and doing the things that I do, because it comes with the role of serving as a pastor, sometimes there's no margins left even there. I mean, you can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, serving and serving and serving and serving. And one of the most difficult things that I ever have to do is I get asked to do things, and the Spirit of God says no, and yet I look at it and I say, that's a wonderful thing. But God's saying, no, I haven't called you to do that. I've asked you to work over here to reach these people. And we have to discern, we have to differentiate, we have to look at what God has called and chosen us to do. Because if we don't, friends, we can get in much of a difficult situation in doing good as we can in not doing any good at all. So we can do good over here, and God says, I've equipped you to serve over here. I want you over here. There's people over here. And so we need those margins in our life. Margins to make sure that our life isn't out of balance, that our lives aren't all out of whack, margins that are going to allow us to pivot when a need suddenly arises, margins that are going to allow us to respond when a sudden, you know, disaster or something happens in someone's life. That's what it means to be called. To be called, to be God's spokesperson, to be the ambassador, the agent of the Heavenly Father who resides in the eternal heavens. To be called by Him is to be chosen. And God says, I want you to live a life worthy. The second blessing is this, is the blessing of God's focus. We could go on. There's four adjectives here. The focus of God is that we need to understand that how we conduct our lives, it needs to be with all lowliness or humility, all meekness or gentleness, with patience and forbearing one another in love and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, God has called you. He's called you to fill a certain specific role, but not just in any way. He's called you to have His focus, His heart, His soul, His desire, His focus in all that we do. And friends, that includes being humble in all we do. Now, we can't be like the man who was awarded the pin for being the most humble man in his church. And then when he wore the pin, they took it away from him and he said, hey, you've lost it. So we can't be the individuals that are saying, I am humble out there, and we have to just live it. We have to be lowly in heart, mind, and soul. And what it means to be lowly is to look at the needs of others before we look at the needs of ourselves. And that can be looking at the needs of our children, looking at the needs of our neighbors, looking at the needs of God and what He's asked us to do. The sad reality is there have been days in my life where I've looked at my agenda. And the agenda on my piece of paper, it was all about things that I felt were important. It was all things that I deemed to be what I needed to be about. And I'm fearful that those days it was God that was saying, I didn't want you there. So to be humble, to live with all lowliness, is to say, Lord, not my will, but your will, O God, be done. That's lowliness. That's humility. That's saying, God, I want your will. And whatever that means, because friends, the path of following Christ, there is not a path that does not include sacrifice. And many times for us in our lives, we need to choose between two good things and say, I'm not going to do that, because if I spend my time, talent, and energy there, then I'm not going to have anything over here. That's humility. It's saying, God is first, others are second, and I am third. Gail Sayers wrote that book years ago, I Am Third. And that's exactly what he meant. The second thing is meekness. And meekness is not weakness, friends. It means gentle. There are two individuals in all the scriptures that are called meek, Moses and Jesus. Now, I'm here to tell you that Jesus nor Moses was a weak individual. And you can search the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and the only two in all the scriptures that are ever called meek are Moses and Jesus. I picture Jesus as being a man's man, tipping tables over and throwing them in the temple, tables that weren't like the tables we have in the fellowship hall, tables that probably had tree legs for legs. I picture Moses living in the wilderness, being a shepherd and wrestling with the lions, the tigers, and the bears, and those to protect the sheep. That's a man's man. But meekness is not weakness, it's gentleness. It's understanding that God is gentle and he is lowly in heart, and he is the one who seeks us. And so to have his focus is to reach out in the same manner that he reached out to you and to me. Meekness is Jesus on the cross when he told Peter and he told others before he was crucified, "Do you not know that if I give one word, 10 legions of angels will be at my disposal?" And yet he hung on the cross and he said, "Here I am. I am lowly in heart and I am gentle because it's for your benefit." And that is the focus of God. Meekness. To be meek is to be so gentle that you can see somebody's need and you can be so sensitive to somebody's care and concern and their hurts that you go to them and you address that. So when we focus, we have that blessing, because it's only then, friends, that we begin to see people as God sees them. And then patience. Patience is to deal with other people and where they're at, and not being demanding and forbearing one another in love. Today we celebrate the love of God. To forbear is to put up with, to deal with, to not deserve or demand your own way. To forbear with one another is to say, "You know what, God, you deal with me and you put up with me every single day. It's the least that I can do is to forbear with this person because you love me and I need to love them." And friends, if you adopt that focus, you will be blessed. The third blessing that we can see when we are rich in service is the blessing of spiritual growth. Now, I'm going to just share this. There are many different ways that you and I can serve in this world. In fact, I worked with an individual who is the Kiwanian of the Year. Now, Kiwanis is a civic club, and they do much good, okay? They do great good. They do Meals on Wheels, and they serve meals to the shut-ins and to the poor and to all those people. And Randy, he was the Kiwanian of the Year. That's what he did. That's what he gave his life to. That's a great organization. And for years, I've been struggling with what's the difference? You know, we have these civic organizations over here, and then we got the church over here. And this is the main difference, friends. You can go and serve the rest of your life in Kiwanis or Rotary Club or any other civic organization, and you will never, ever, ever spiritually grow. The only way that you can spiritually grow in your journey with Jesus is by serving in the church. And that is a blessing, because this is why that God gave certain individuals to serve in certain ways to equip the saints, and that's you, friends, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood. The only way people mature spiritually is by getting involved. And so you're sitting there and you're saying, "But my plate is already so full." And I say, simplify. I say, simplify. I say, create margins in your life so that you have time. You're saying, but I can do my own personal devotion. I can do my own time of prayer on my own. And I say, that is true. But you know what? When you rub shoulders with other believers in Jesus, other followers of Christ, you know, you get exhorted, you get admonished, you get encouraged, you get, you know, just challenged to go further. And that is why you cannot grow spiritually outside of serving within the context of a local church. It cannot happen, friends. It won't happen, because this is why. Because God has said, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. the fullness of God, until we become mature. And the only way to become mature is by serving. One of the saddest realities that I deal with on a regular basis is this. People, they're struggling. And this is what it happens. They'll get involved and they'll sprout up like crazy. Get involved and they get way too involved. They have no margins in their life. And next thing you know, they're burning out. And when they burn out, then they step back and then they separate and then they isolate. And then the enemy has a heyday with them. Margins needs to be in the church too. Margins need to be with the church too. You can't do everything. I can't do everything. I'm not asking anybody to do more. I get it. I volunteered upwards of 20 to 30 hours a week when I was running a business, and part of that was because I was single and I had no kids. But that's all just a bunch of bunk, too, that people say, oh, if you're single and you have no kids and you have more time than everybody. No, I have 24 hours in the day just like everybody else. That's the way it goes. Margins have to be in serving God, too. Because God has one Savior for you, and you, friends, are not the Savior of the world, and I am not either. But I do know this, that we need to sometimes step forward. Otherwise, we are going to be like the individuals who say, I can't grow in Jesus. I'm not growing. Well, you're not rubbing shoulders. You're not serving God within the context of the local church. And therefore, you're not getting exhorted. You're not getting encouraged. You're not getting admonished to go forward. And until that happens, and it has to be more than from me, until that happens, you, my friends, will never grow. I will never grow. Nobody will grow. Because it's all about serving. It's about serving God first, serving people second. Remember the two greatest commandments that Jesus boiled it down to? Love God, love people. You love God, you're going to reorder your life to serve Him in that distinct way that only you can serve Him, because there's nobody else that has a set of characteristics, talents, and gifts that you have been given by God. And until you realize that, you're going to wither away, and you're going to wither away on the vine. We live in a day where we want spirituality on our terms. The buzzword is, I'm spiritual but not religious. Well, I'm not religious either. Okay, I believe in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the one who died and laid down his life for us so that we can live for all of eternity, being reunited with Jesus Christ and God the Father. But until we realize what we are sacrificing, when we have no margins in our life, and what we are sacrificing, when we put on the altar of serving within the local church, we are sacrificing our own spiritual growth. We'll never grow. You will never grow. I will never grow. It can't happen, friends. This is why. Because the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The blessing of spiritual growth is something that once you experience it, you will never, ever, ever relinquish it. That's a blessing. The fourth blessing is this, and this is where it really gets fun. In verse 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is Jesus, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. You see the blessing of showing God's love, the upbuilding of the body of Christ. You and I are part of God's body. You and I are the hands and the feet of Jesus Himself to this world. You and I are the face of God to those who see us. That's why we need to focus the blessing of being humble and lowly and gentle and forbearing and patient. That's why we need to understand that we are called to special purposes that only you can be fulfilling. That's why we need to understand that our spiritual growth is essential if we're ever going to live up and fill up into what God's called us to do. We could go back to this video about the kids. I have a lot of colleagues that are in churches 5 times, 6 times, 8 times, the attenders that we have on a regular basis here, and the numbers that God is bringing to our door, they dwarf them. They dwarf them. It's not even close, friends. It's not even close. And so if we are going to be faithful with what God is bringing to us in the kids, and I have to believe that it's not going to stop with the children, it's going to move to the adults, and it's just going to be a general uprising of God's people reaching other people. If we are going to fulfill what God wants us to fulfill, and that's to reach the community, we have to understand we're called to grasp His focus, to realize we need to grow spiritually, and then we realize and understand and accept that we are blessed when we show God's love. You see, Trunk or Treat was more than just candy. It was about showing the love of God to those kids. VBS, yes, we share the gospel every day at Vacation Bible School, but it's more than just fun and games. It's about getting God's word in their heart, mind, and soul. Easter egg hunt. You didn't get the chance to hear from Joanna. It's more than just about finding eggs and candy again. It's about sharing the resurrection eggs, and that's a way to share the gospel of Christ. It's about living into what God is calling Trinity United Methodist Church to live into. So my challenge, friends, is this. Charlene has agreed to be the connections individual. And she can connect people. If you are here today and if you are wondering where I can get plugged into, see Charlene. She can get you plugged in. There are needs here. My heart and my passion is this. There are people that are dying every day without Jesus in their life, and they will spend eternity in separation of being with God. They will be separated for all of eternity. And if that doesn't move you, friends, nothing will. That's my passion. I want so desperately to reach this community with Jesus Christ. And I can't wait. I can't wait until the fire in other people is ignited. Because then the love of God will be shown. And when the church is united in ministry and in service, then and only then is God's love shown. So my challenge today, if you're not serving, get involved. See Charlene. If you are serving, make sure you have those margins in your service. Don't crowd your plate so full that you say, I got to step back, because that's not helping anybody either, friends. But if you're not involved, get involved. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your call. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you for giving us your focus, the focus of being humble and meek and gentle, being patient and forbearing with one another. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would give us the spiritual growth, that we would grow with one another, that we would truly be one body serving you and reaching the community in the unique way that you ask us to. And that we would reflect and show your love to all who come across our path. Move in our hearts, we pray. May you find us faithful and obedient in serving you. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus, 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 risen.
close this morning. May the God of all peace bless you and keep you. And may you truly reflect the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the truth of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, to all those you come across. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.